Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning to everyone. Really enjoyed the Sunday school this morning. I thought it was just excellent. Just hearing everyone's input and understanding how much Jesus did for us. That question 7 really hit me when y'all were going over that, when you said, what did Jesus accomplish on the cross? And there's so much depth to what he accomplished. You know, of course, as Pastor Thomas said, you know, we received our salvation because of his sacrifice on the cross. We have eternal life. He redeemed us to our Father, to God. And he also displayed, I think Sister Roz, when she read her the practical point about, he modeled how we are to suffer patiently. He exemplified his love and compassion by expressing forgiveness. You know, in the midst of all of that, he just showed us how to endure and love more than anything else. He exemplifies love itself. And I think it's very fitting as I bring a message today that God put on my heart to continue. This is part 2 of the love message that I gave 2 weeks ago. So this is love part 2. And looking at that message a few weeks ago, we looked at love and wisdom, obedience and sacrifice. And that's everything that Jesus embodied there on the cross. He was obedient unto the calling that his Father and our God put before him. He was obedient to that. He came to finish what he came to do. He was the sacrificial lamb that our sins could be forgiven. And we wouldn't have to live under condemnation or the burden of our sins, past, present, and future. He died for us all. Amen. And his blood covers us and cleanses us so that we might be able to stand before our Father God in righteousness before him because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, beautiful lesson. Enjoyed the input. And I'll bring part 2 of this love message, and it is simply entitled The Labor of Love. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this blessed day. We thank you, Father God, for this opportunity for us to come together as a body of believers to hear your word. Help us, Father God, to take your word into ourselves and to apply your word into our lives, to share your word with those that we come into contact. Help us, Father God, to exemplify your Son, Jesus, in all that we do and say. We thank you, Father God, for your continued grace, your mercy. As I bring this message today, none of me and all of you, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and my Redeemer. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, church, I wanted to give a very real quick recap of the last the love message part 1 about obedience and sacrifice and love and wisdom. And in that message, I talked about how our mindset of wisdom and understanding really comes from a reverence for God. Job 28:28 says, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." So we understand this about wisdom and understanding. It starts with reverencing God. That's the very beginning of it. And we also understand about love is, it is the greatest commandment. And we know that love is an action. It's an application. Love is what we should do. Love is what we should be about. So it really defines our very existence. It guides us through life on how to treat people. It shows us how to deal with adversity and difficulties. So we understand that as we go through this life and we endure and we go through things, we're only able to do that through the power and strength of our Lord and Savior. Amen. You don't have the power or the capacity to love without the love of Jesus being in you. And say you don't have that capacity because your fleshly nature is truly all about self. It's self-motivated. But when you get the love of Jesus in you, he showed it on the, he exemplified it right there on the cross. It was not about him. It was about doing his Father's will and bearing the sins of the world. So it was God's love for us was exemplified through his Son right there on the cross. God showed us as that it's not just saying, it's about doing. God so loved the world that he gave, he did something. He just didn't say he loved us, he showed us, he displayed it. And we understand that Jesus, when he talked about love, he says, if you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. Do it, prove it, show it. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Amen. So, and then it's okay. Well, God, what do you want me to do? John 15, verses 10 through 14 talks about, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, and the love that is in you will be made complete through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we know that as we love each other, as he's loved us, then that love is a fulfillment of everything that Jesus came to do. He fulfilled everything that he was came to do. There was nothing that was incomplete or done halfway. I think Sister Jemiah was reading, when she was reading over the text, she talked about the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do. He didn't do anything halfway. And by him showing us how to, you don't go halfway with anything. You go all in. Amen. He wants us to be fully dedicated, fully obedient to his calling, fully committed to the service that we perform for our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, as we get into today's message, part two, I want to look at and focus on the labor of love. Amen. Understanding that we like the feel good feeling of love, the emotional side of it, but love is work. Just make no mistake. Love takes it takes action. It takes us to employ and put forth effort. It's not something that we halfway do or we half-heartedly do. Love is an all or nothing. And Jesus showed us that on the cross. It's like, I'm not going to get down. I'm going to stay. I'm going to fulfill what God has called me to do here on this cross. I'm enduring all of this, but I'm going to fulfill it. It's going to come to completion. Amen. So when we think about our love walk, let's not half-heartedly love people. Let's not half-heartedly devote ourselves to helping those in need. Let's go all in. Amen. I want to turn our first scripture text, 1 Thessalonians 1. And it's our main text today, or two I'm going to give you. 1 Thessalonians 1, we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. And then we'll turn over to the love scripture of Corinthians 13. And we'll look at verses 3, 4, and 5. Amen. So first starting off in 1 Thessalonians verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 2 and 3. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, "We always thank God for all of you, continually mentioning you in our prayers." Verse 3, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, in your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica about what love truly is. And we see those scriptures of faith, you know, we've heard the faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. He brings to mention how they are applying their faith in God. So he's acknowledging their actions produced by faith. It starts in your belief. He said, I acknowledge the work you've done for God, your work produced by faith. So you had to have a belief. You have to have a foundation of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So those actions are produced out of your belief. And then it says your labor prompted by love. And what's important to note about your labor prompted by love is we can labor on a lot of things in life. We can work on a lot of things in life. But what God and what Jesus is focusing us on is the motivation behind your work. Why are you doing what you do? Are you giving me lip service, or are you doing it because you truly love me? Amen. So your labor, your work should be prompted by a foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let that be the motivation why you do what you do. It's not, I scratch my back, or you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You do for me, I do for you. Your actions are prompted by your faith in Jesus, grounded in your love for Jesus. Amen. And then it goes on to say, and he's recognizing your endurance inspired by hope in who? In Jesus. Amen. So that speaks to our perseverance, how you're able to go on. This is a journey that we're on each day. It's not a one day thing. I'm going to love you this week, but next week, I don't know. Your endurance, this love walk, is a continued journey. It's going to take you through highs and lows, valleys and peaks and valleys throughout life. But you can endure it if you're inspired by the hope of Jesus Christ. So that's what it's saying. He's acknowledging your work produced by faith, your belief, your labor prompted by love, having the right motivation, and your endurance. You're only going to be able to go on if you're inspired by the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have to realize that that love is work. It requires action. It's not just a single act, but it's a continued act, ongoing displays of love. If I showed you one act of kindness, or if I showed you one thing of love, that wouldn't solidify my love for you. It's an ongoing thing. We show and prove our love by performing continuous, unconditional, and genuine acts of love for others and for God. Amen. So we have to lean on God as we labor in this life. And one thing of understanding, you can't do it in your own strength. You won't be able to. It is God who enables you to love, and it is God who equips you to love. So thinking about being enabled and being equipped. I don't have the capacity to truly, genuinely love authentically without the love of Christ in me. Amen. I can't do it. Without God, I couldn't love my wife the way she needs to be loved, and vice versa. Amen. None of us could love our parents or our friends without the true, genuine love of Christ in us. Amen. Because we have to face it, our human nature is very selfish. The flesh is always concerned with its own needs. And as we think about our flesh, it's like your stomach is like, when it's hungry, it says, I don't want to be fed. You hear your stomach growling. And some of y'all might be ready to eat now, but I'm just going to hold you a little while longer and we'll be ready to go. But, and you know, when your body is tired, it wants to go to sleep. The flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. Amen? And we have to understand that we don't walk in the flesh, we walk in the spirit. We don't feed our flesh, we have to feed our spirit. That's the only way you are able to endure and make it through life. Our spirit man, the spirit nature of ourselves, is always trying to do for others while the flesh is always trying to do for self. Amen? So what can we say about our spiritual nature? Our spiritual nature is not easily provoked, but our fleshy nature is. When somebody get at you or curse you, you want to curse them right back. But the spirit nature of you takes on the nature of Jesus Christ, just like he was on the cross. He's like, Father, forgive them. Jesus showed compassion on the cross. Jesus showed forgiveness on the cross. Amen. But that's because he was living out of his spirit and not out of his flesh. He wasn't thinking about what his flesh was going through. He was making sure that he was being obedient to the calling of his spirit man, the nature of God himself incarnate in his human flesh. Amen. The love of God. It is the love of God that helps us see past the little annoyances and imperfections of others. And it is that same love that helps us to examine and look at ourselves and what we're doing wrong. Amen? Now, your flesh and nature is always trying to look at what somebody else is doing wrong. Look at what they did. Look at what they're not doing. I can't believe they did this. But your spirit, man, is always looking, okay, what can I do for others? And it's going to examine and self-assess, what could I be doing better? Amen? And it's important for us to know that even our actions out of context can be wrong. So what are you talking about, minister? I'm talking about doing good things for the wrong reasons. Selfish, self-serving motivations. I thank you for you doing what you did for me, but why did you do it? Did you do it to get something else in return? Did you do it because you wanted to be exalted and put on a pedestal? Did you do it because you wanted recognition? Did you want to be exalted? So God is always looking at our hearts. It's good to do good, but make sure your motivation is grounded and rooted in love. Amen. Let's turn and look at 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to look at verses 3, 4, and 5, and we'll look at what love is, and we'll look at what love is not. Amen? So pick it up in verse 3, he says, if I give all I possess to the poor, and that sounds like a very noble thing to do, give all you have to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. I gave all my stuff, all my possessions away to the poor. I let my body go through all kind of hardship. But if I don't have love, I gain nothing. It means nothing, church. Verse 4, let's look at what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Verse 5, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? Now, who does that sound like, church? When you heard me read off, who does that sound like? That sounds like Jesus Christ, right? Because Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus did not boast. Jesus was not proud. Jesus did not dishonor others. Jesus was not self-seeking. Jesus was not easily angered. Jesus kept no record of wrongs. Amen? So when you receive love, when you receive Jesus, then you give love. You reflect all of those terms when Jesus is inside of you. So now, because of Jesus, I know how to be patient. Because of Jesus, I know how to be kind. Because of Jesus, I know how not to be envious. I know how not to boast. I know how not to be proud. I know how not to be dishonorable. I know how not to be self-seeking. I know how not to be easily angered. And I know how not to remember wrongs. Amen? God does a very masterful job of telling us 9 things about love in those 3 scriptures. He tells us 9 things. He tells us what love is in 1 Corinthians 13, and he tells us what love is not. Amen. So we can know it, and so we can experience it, and so we can know how to apply it. Amen. And when I talk about experiencing love and applying love, you have to know what it really is. Because people throw that word around all day, every day. Oh, I love you, but are you patient? Oh, I love you, but are you kind? Oh, I love you, but are you being envious? Are you being boastful? Are you being proud? So God is trying to show us how to truly know what it is and how to apply it in our lives. And the wonderful thing about love, church, is it's something that we can share with everybody. And love is not caring about how much money you got in the bank. Love is not caring about how many abilities that you have. There's not a single person that cannot show and display love. Amen? So you're saying, oh, I don't have enough money to show you how much I love you. No, you can show somebody how much you love them just by the things that you can say and do and be there for them. Amen? It doesn't cost you. It's not going to drain you of anything but giving up of yourself and your flesh to nature. That's all love requires. Being humbling yourself before God, saying, you know what, God? I don't have the capacity to love without you. I'm humble enough to recognize and know that. I'm not going to pat myself on the back for any good I do, because any good I do came from you. You gave me the capacity to do good for others. Amen? So that's how I can not go around not boasting and bragging, because it's nothing out of me. It's all God. Amen? And church, so when we apply love to our lives, when we share love with those that we come into contact, we have to make sure that our motivations are grounded. How do you make sure your motivations are grounded? You stay as close to Christ as you can. You meditate on his word day and night. He will keep your motivations pure. Amen? In everything that you do and everything that you say, it will come from a genuine, authentic heart. Say, well, I'm getting tired. I don't know how much more I can love this person. You have to lean on the strength of God to do anything. You can't do it under your own strength. When somebody smacks you or says something to you, you don't have the natural capacity to have compassion on them. You have to lean and depend on him for that kind of compassion and that kind of true, genuine, authentic love, that agape love. Amen? That is the love of God. That's the only way you're going to be able to labor in love. Amen? The labor of love. It made me think about the word labor, and they say when a woman goes into labor, she's pushing forth for something for that baby to come, right? She wants something to happen. She can't sit stagnant. So it is with our love walk. We don't sit stagnant with our love walk. We are always pushing forward. We're always bringing about action. Love is employment, effort. It's an application. Amen? And church, I'll close with this verse, Galatians 6, 9, and 10. We'll talk about our opportunities and when and how we should love. And in Galatians 6, 9, and 10, I read from the King James. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Amen. The only way you don't get tired is by leaning and trusting and depending on the strength of God. Amen. And it says the promise of that is for in due season you will reap if you don't give up. Due season always comes, but we have to endure with the strength and the love of Christ to get to the next season, in the next season, in the next season of life. Amen. Verse 10 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good. So what is it saying? Let us love on everyone. As you have opportunity, love, church. That's what it's saying. It says, especially unto them who are the household of faith, to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, especially. Amen. So let's labor to love. Let's work to love. Let's labor, toil, employ, put forth effort. Let's push. Love is an action. And just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he showed the depth of his love on the cross. As should we show the depth of our love for one another by doing all that we can. Jesus showed the length and the depth that he was willing to go to fulfill the promise on the cross. Jesus went all the way. He completely fulfilled the law and the prophets. He went to the depths of hell, defeated the enemy, defeated death, and was resurrected to life. Amen. In John 3:16, God displayed what love is and then showed us how to love. For God so loved the world that he gave. He labored to redeem us unto himself through his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for loving us so much that you would give your Son as a sacrifice and atonement for our sins, that we might walk through this life in no condemnation to the sin that the enemy would try to burden us down with to keep us from doing what you've called us to do. We thank you that we can walk in the freedom that the love of Christ gives us, the salvation that we are rewarded just by believing and trusting in him. We thank you, Father God, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And we give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.